It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tuesday, you're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Good morning, Mike Wiggins.
Good morning. You're back.
We're back.
You're back. Jenna's back.
Possum okay. And Tammy are back together again.
Exactly. All is right with the world.
That's right. I feel like the stars have aligned.
They have.
And we're going to be okay.
It is so good to have you back. We had a nice show last week. Reese and I
listened.
Talked a little gardening, and we had a nice time. It is really nice to have you back behind the mic again, though. It really is.
Thank you. I've missed everyone so much. And yesterday was my first day back, and it was so welcoming. But I will say it was also very refreshing to hold little babies.
Oh, yes.
For a whole week straight. It was just so precious. And also get to enjoy my brother-in-law. I forgot to take pictures. I'll have to have him take pictures. He grows all sorts of plants, all over house plants, because it's Jersey. So it gets cold. They die off. All sorts of house plants. And he also raises like frogs and lizards and breeds them and things, which he needs the healthy plants to be able to do that. So I was in plant land, too, while we were quarantined and bundled up inside playing with all the babies.
Isn't there a big botanical garden?
Yes, there is.
I'm going to say Philadelphia, maybe.
We do have a botanical garden near Philadelphia. And then where I grew up in Morris County, we have a massive botanical garden and arboretum.
Okay.
And it's on a big piece of land where you can walk through all different kind of trees. And, yeah, of course, when
That's
I was
fun.
Like 13, they made us do all these tree projects. And so I know more about, oaks than I should.
Well, we can talk a little oak today if you want to. There's no problem right on there. Jenna, what we need to do real quick, just for fun, just want to congratulate the Georgia Bulldogs on their victory last night over Alabama.
Wow.
What a game. It was an amazing game. And in the fourth quarter, Georgia just kind of turned it on and did a really nice job.
They were incredible. It was such a joy to watch them. Sorry, Alabama fans, but, I'm neither Georgia nor Alabama, so it's okay if we comment.
Well, I'm a Florida State guy.
There you go. We're okay.
But Alabama is world class. They're legendary, what all they have done. But the game last night, what I think, if nothing else, what it does, it just increases that Georgia-Alabama rivalry over the fun, and, as we move forward. I thought it was just great. It was fun.
I don't usually stay awake for games like that. I've got better things. But then once it hit the last, I think it was 3 minutes and 33 seconds, I was about to give up, be like, whoever, it's going to be fine. They're both great. They deserve it. And then I was like, no, I can't sleep now.
Right.
And then their interception, I was like, all right, I'm awake. And then I had to stay and watch them all cry. And
oh,
I cried.
Yeah. Target cry and all that. Oh, no, it was good. But anyway, it was a fun
it
night.
Was great.
And congratulations to the Bulldogs, and like we say at Florida State, there's all for Alabama, there's always next year.
There probably will be, so it's
big,
okay.
Big game next year, no doubt about it. In any event, we always kind of start off with the weather, and we are in a little cool
spell.
This
is your favorite
here.
Weather.
Oh, no, it's not my favorite weather. No, are you kidding me?
I know. I can tell when you sit in your car for a really long time and won't come inside. You don't
want to
be out
on.
Here. That's right.
You bet. But we are in cooler weather, but we're not having any severe cold. So we have it with the little front coming through and all that. Didn't have to go out and cover our plants and do all the procedures that we've talked about here on the Garden Line. And that's good. And looking ahead, I don't see where that's coming. But it's early. I mean, it is only January. And if you remember, we still have had experience in Pensacola with early April freezes. So we've got a way to go to protect all the plants that we've got. But it sure has been nice not to have those hard freezes. There's no doubt about it. But what we have had Jenna, is a lot of wind, and we talk on this show a lot about cold is one thing, but those strong, strong winds will absolutely dry out a lot of our plants, especially our container plants. It'll dry them out real quick. So even though we're sitting here in January, if you've got some plants out there in containers, even if they're ornamental plants, I mean, it's like a boxwood, it's still going to dry out very fast. So go out there and do a little watering, kind of protect what you've got. I think that's really, really important. Also, if we do end up covering our plants, don't forget the garden line rule. If you cover your plants to protect from the freeze, if you're going to drape them, say, in a sheet, be sure to take it all the way to the ground. That way the heat from the ground will get up and protect it. And be sure to take it off after we get into some reasonable temperatures, because if not, especially if you use plastic, which I don't want you to do, but if you do, if you use plastic, it's like a greenhouse. It'll bake them. So take that off very, very quickly. And obviously, this is an obvious remark here. No fertilization at this point. I wouldn't do any pruning at this point, unless it's on some of our deciduous trees, and we'll talk about some of that later. But otherwise, you just don't want, in Pensacola, as you can see, what'll happen, we'll get down into the 30s, then we'll get up into the 60s, sometime into the 70s, and believe it or not, it's like my hydrangeas, trying to put on new growth. If you start pruning things and you get a warm spell, it'll put on some very, very fragile new growth. And then the freeze comes, and you're out of business. So be careful with what you freeze. One other thing about this cool weather, and I bring this up because I saw it over the weekend. I was driving down Langley and also down Summit Boulevard to look at the beautiful ryegrass at the airport. It is just gorgeous, and it is the time to do that if you really want a green lawn between now and the hot weather. You could put ryegrass on today, and you'd probably have some germination within a week or so, and it would be very green shortly. You got to put it out, but also remember, once again, the cautions we have insofar as ryegrass is concerned is do not ever, ever get it into your flower beds. Not that it's going to hurt anything. It's just going to look ugly. It's going to be almost impossible to get out until it dies off in the summer by itself. So just keep it out of there. I always, if you're going to put out ryegrass, kind of do it by hand next to the flower bed, because you just don't want to get it in there. But be sure you get good current seed. Oregon annual ryegrass is good, and that's what I would do if you want that green lawn. Most of us are kind of tired of mowing anyway, and let's just put the mower up and be done with it. But talking about putting the mower up, you know, we talked a little bit last week about the weeds that are coming up, the winter weeds, the poana, the Florida betony, the henbit, all of those, and they are getting to the point where you need to mow it. So keep the mower high, keep it at the exact same level you mowed your lawn in July, and go ahead over those weeds and collect the clippings. A lot of the literature nowadays will say, oh, let it all go back down into the turf. It adds some nutrients. Well, maybe so. But if you've got all those weeds coming up, let's collect those old weed seeds and not let them recycle back into the turf. So if your lawn needs mowing, mow it. But don't succumb to temptation and mow it lower than you did in the summer, because that will probably increase your weed population. And lastly, about mowing, I bought a new battery-powered lawnmower, and I love it. It really is great. However, in the summer, I found that when if you're mowing really high, like I do, about 4 inches on St. Augustine, it'll leave little blades of grass periodically around the yard, like it's the blade isn't sharp enough. Well, I've talked to some people about that. They say, well, some of those battery-powered lawnmowers will do that, especially if you're mowing it real high. But to cover all the bases, this is a great time of year right now to go ahead and sharpen that lawnmower blade. Be sure it's sharp. Cover that base to be sure, even though you may, if you have the same kind of lawnmower I do, you have those little sprigs come up, you may have to kind of go over some sections twice. Anyway, I would certainly recommend that you sharpen that lawnmower blade.
Okay. And you you liked the, you said electric or battery operated?
Battery operated.
Okay, so you just recharge it.
I just recharge it.
Same power.
As a matter of fact, I bought the type that had the battery, obviously, but the same battery will fit into the same brand of blower or weed eater, that type of thing. So you can use the same battery for different tools. And I'm saving money on buying a bunch of batteries.
I think we have one of those now. Obviously, I'm not using it very much. 850-437-1620 is the number to text. Or you can call. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mike Wiggins is here to answer your questions. 850-437-1620. When we come back, let's answer our friend's question here. I'm interested in planting a tangerine tree. So, Mike, what is the variety that is best for eating that will grow here in the Pensacola area? So we're going to talk tangerines when we come back.
Tangerine. Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Lindsay with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join Cody Martin, Director of Education for Pensacola Opera, Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cody will discuss upcoming performances of The Magic Flute, January 28th and 30th. This opera premiered during the Age of Enlightenment. The Magic Flute transports you on a mystical journey filled with genies, spirits, and the hilarious antics of a creature who is half man and half bird.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Special request right here from Mike Wiggins.
Request.
Yeah. You, what is this again? This is Smoke from a Distant Fire.
Smoke from a Distant Fire. And the version I heard over the week, the reason I mentioned it to you, was by the Band of Oz. I had never in my life heard. The Band
Neither
of Oz, I researched a little bit. It's an East Coast band, and it's kind of related to Carolina Beach music, which is a great combination of music. And that's kind of where that comes from.
This feels nice. I'm going to add this to our Garden Line Spotify list right here. This is a nice. I can get down with this. This is good.
Well, you and I are going to do we're going to make us a CD and sell it. Remember?
I know. At this point,
Best of the Garden Line.
And it's all over the place, people so you never know.
People will be lined up around the block
for
our CD.
I think our number one hit was the Armadillo song, but that's okay.
Don't even say the word, Jenna.
Won't go back in time.
Jenna, don't even say the word.
We haven't gotten an armadillo question since that day, by the way.
But now the text line is going to light up.
And if you remember, you can text it in, 850-437-1620. So let's talk tangerine trees.
Okay, let's talk tangerine. I'm going to take one step back also as far as the tangerine is concerned. And this is kind of a cool little article I have. I kind of remember all of this. There's differences in all these citrus fruits. People confuse oranges, mandarins, tangerines, clementines, and satsumas. The mandarin, see what I'm saying. The tangerines and the mandarins are used interchangeably, or they're not the same. While a tangerine is a type of mandarin, not all mandarins are tangerines. Now, if that's all confusing, it can be confusing to me too. There are 167 different hybrids and varieties of mandarins. First of all, you've got oranges. Mandarins are a type of orange, a little smaller, a little sweeter than oranges. Now, here's the one we're talking about. Tangerines are a specific type of mandarin orange. They're bright orange color, slightly tougher skins, and their flavor is a little less sweet and a bit more tart. Then you've got clementines, which are a small type of mandarin orange, and satsumas, which is a specific type of mandarin orange. They're a lighter color, sweet, juicy, and seedless. But in tangerines are a specific type of mandarin orange. Now, the texture want to know what to do. Well, number one, I know this. If you have a tangerine, especially if it's a new one, and it's in a container, I would kind of hold on to it in that container so you can bring it in and out from any hard freeze we may have between now and, let's say, April, and then plant it then. If it's in the ground now and it's brand new, extra water is really, really important. Remember now, don't let the sprinkler system water your citrus or any of your trees. It usually doesn't put out enough water. Put that hose next to it, let it dribble on it for an hour or so. That's very, very important. But of course, protect it from the cold. Remember, we talked just a few minutes ago about draping the trees all the way down to the ground. Don't just drape the foliage. That's called the lollipop effect, and we don't want to do that. So tangerines are just another type of citrus that we enjoy here in Pensacola. And I wish you luck with it. Any other specific questions that they ask about the tangerine?
No, that's it. Just a good variety that grows here.
That's a good question.
How many varieties are there? I didn't even know.
Of all these mandarins, there's 167 different varieties of all this citrus, and probably more than that. Some of this information I've got is a little dated, kind of like I am. But anyway, that is just probably all different kinds. Here's what I would do. Two things. I would call our good friend, Carol Lord, at the Escambia County Extension Service, and I ask Carol, say, Carol, what is the latest and greatest variety of tangerine to buy? And maybe even more important, where can I get it? You don't want to have to drive down to Miami to buy your tangerine. But some of your garden centers, like Pensacola Seed and Garden, would be a good source where I would start to ask Larry out there, ask Larry, what type of tangerine is he selling, or what type can he get for you? Because a lot this time of year, I think a lot of your nursery folks are being asked about, can I get this particular, like a crepe myrtle. I want a red crepe myrtle. Well, they may not have it, but they probably will be able to get it from some of their wholesalers, some of their growers, some of their suppliers. Same with this tangerine. Just kind of ask a guy like Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden, after you talk to Carol, and get the best variety, find out what he's got, and if he doesn't have that best one, what does he recommend? That's what I would do.
That is some great guidance right there. 850-437-1620. You know, my favorite of all the citruses is a blood orange.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All the citruses.
Oh, yes. That is great.
That you can sit and eat. I mean, I could sit and eat a lime, just like eat it. But a blood orange, there's just something, I don't know what it is, but it's delicious. I have one in my bag. They're just delicious.
I had one yesterday.
See, they're so good. And they're on sale right now at Publix. So
there you go, a little plug. And they are good for you.
They're very good for you. Hey, 850-437-1620. We talked a little tangerine. Let's move on over to drift roses. A texter says somebody had sprayed weed killer on them. Can you pull them and replant, or should we wait until another date to replant drift roses?
Well, if you were just planting drift roses, right now is a great time to do it. Right, this is a perfect time to plant any rose, quite frankly. It really is. And you could wait, because a lot of your drift roses that you buy are probably going to be in a container. And as we know, you can plant container plants almost any time. But roses really need to be planted, in my opinion, in the cooler weather. Remember, the magic date to prune roses is
Valentine's Day,
yay, team. So on the drift roses and the weed killer, that's a tough question. Number one, it depends on what type of weed killer they used. If they used a product like, Roundup, for example, which is a weed killer that is systemic, it will work, translocate into the roots of a plant, and many times kill it altogether. That's what a lot of people use for weed killer, like in sidewalk, cracks in sidewalks, and that type of thing. If it's a lawn weed killer, you may be okay. What I would do is kind of jump the gun. Don't wait till Valentine's. I would go ahead and give it a prune very, very shortly and see what happens.
Completely gut it yet.
No, don't gut it yet. Now, it depends on what's, if it's just absolutely, the stalks are, you know, are black and they're rotting and there's just nothing there. Yeah, dig them up. And what I would do, if you're going to plant in the same place, this is also very important. Whatever weed killer was used, if it was a brush killer, and a brush killer, of course, is what a lot of people use to spray along fence rows, and it's good because it sterilizes the soil. That could be a problem where you've got these drift roses planted. However, if it's not a brush killer, if it is a Roundup, you say, or a Trimec, or some of those lawn weed killers, I think if you, and the plants are just dead as a doornail, dig them up, get you some peat moss, a bit of topsoil, a little bit of limestone, and just kind of redo the soil there. And I bet you'll be okay. That's what I would do.
Okay, very good. Hey, we're going to take another quick break here and then wrap up a little bit, going over to the news when we come back.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
Good morning. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Go ahead and get those questions in this chilly, chilly morning, 850-437-1620. We've got more to talk about.
Oh, we do have more to talk about. I'd like, you know, we need to talk just very briefly about some of the plants we can plant right now that might give you some winter blooms, but also maybe look ahead to, quite honestly, some of my favorite plants for the spring that can give us some maybe color all summer long. So might be a fun conversation, and hopefully people maybe weigh in with their favorites. I'll share mine with you.
Exactly. So go ahead and get those questions in, or you can go ahead and call 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, go on over to the newsroom with Mark Jacobs and see what's coming up in the news.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning, sir. One medical expert thinks COVID cases could soon start falling in numbers. Maybe we've reached the peak or are close to it. Story after Fox.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Good morning to you. Hanging out here with Mike Wiggins, ready to answer all your questions on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. I have a potted southern magnolia about 5 feet tall. When is a good time to plant that in the ground, Mike?
Oh, I'd do it now. That would be fine. You're not going to have any cold damage, I don't believe, on a southern magnolia. Be sure that if you're planting it, you plant it in the right place, and realize that it'll take years, but how big it's going to be, how messy it's going to be dropping all those leaves, be sure you've got it in the right place. Don't put it under any power lines. Don't put it very close to the house. It's beautiful. It's kind of a southern tradition, beautiful trees. However, it can really get massive on you. There are some varieties of magnolias, southern magnolias, if you will, that grow a little more upright, as opposed to getting huge and taking over properties. But putting it now is fine. Obviously, a lot of some organic material in the hole in which you plant, Canadian sphagnum peat moss, mix that all up with the sand, put the magnolia in, score the roots, because if it's in a pot, the roots may be wound around the root ball, kind of score. There's a box cutter works great. You think you're hurting the plant, but you're really helping it. Just box cut those roots that are running around the pot, plant it in the ground, and remember, don't let the sprinkler system do the work for you. Stretch your hose out there and let it dribble on it, maybe a couple times a week for maybe a couple of hours, and really let it stay soaked for a while. But no, it's a good time to plant. There was an old saying back in the day that fall is for planting, because you don't go through the shock of the hot, hot summer. You could plant that magnolia in July or August, but it would be a little more of a little more work getting enough water on it and such as that. Right now is a good time to do it.
Okay, so go ahead and get right on it. Perfect.
Do it.
That's the way.
Today.
Do it now.
Do it today.
There you go. You got something to do today. 850-437-1620. If you have a question, feel free to text it in for Mike, or you can call this morning. Our phone lines are open, 437-1620. We are going to talk about some plants that we can plant right now. Things we can do right now.
As a matter of fact, if you recall, Jenna, before you went on vacation, we talked a lot about New Year's resolutions. What are we going to do in the new year insofar as gardening is concerned? And one of them was a very general statement. We're going to plant more color in our yard, which I think makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty. It makes you enjoy the outdoors more. So in any event, we're going to plant more color in the yard. Now, insofar as color right now, pansies are one of the favorites. Snapdragons are great. And here's one of my favorites. And I know I've sound like a broken record because I've said this many times on the Garden Line. I love dianthus. They're readily available in your garden centers. And you put that dianthus, I've got mine in kind of a low pot, and they will bloom in the winter. Mine lasted almost all the way through the summer. It was amazing. So dianthus, another word for dianthus is pinks. And this is probably urban legend. It's not because the bloom is pink, but some people said that if you cut it off with pinking shears, that's how you prune them. I don't know if I believe all that, but that's what you read sometimes. It's on the internet, so it's got to be right. Exactly.
That's the way we go now.
That's the way we go. You're absolutely right. Now, and don't forget to plant those bulbs. We mentioned this last week too, but this deserves repeating for that spring color. If you've got the tulips and the hyacinths that you put in the refrigerator and maybe you forgot about them or you ate them for Christmas dinner or something, I don't know. But your tulips and your hyacinths, if they've been in the refrigerator, that's good. Go ahead and plant those. Also, daffodils, iris, ranunculus, crocus. I love crocus. Crocus is a little bitty bulb, and invariably in your newspaper, every March, you'll have a picture of the snowbank in Minnesota with a crocus bulb coming up through it. It is always a harbinger of spring, and they always show that picture every year of that crocus coming up out of the snow. But those are the bulbs to plant if you've got them now. If you don't have them now, you may just want to go ahead and wait until we get a little closer to some warmer weather.
Okay, very good. We're going to pause real quick that subject and go on over to Michael from Pensacola. Good morning, Michael. What's your question for Mike?
Good morning, Michael from the best side, which we all know is the west side.
There you
My
go.
Question
the
is,
west is best, right.
The west is go west, young man. So my question is, I've got a friend who's got some satsumas and a couple lemon trees, and he said, come and get them. And I thought, well, this isn't the right time to dig something up and transplant it. And then I heard you say, if you have a magnolia, to plant it. So tell me what I should do.
Absolutely. No, if he's got them, he's got to give them to you. Of course, transplanting those type of plants, hopefully it's not too big. Sometimes if you have a 6-footer, you may have troubles. But time-wise, right?
4 feet.
Oh, yeah, that should be fine. Obviously, get all the roots you can. Immediately take it from where you have the hole dug where you're going to plant it. Take it from his yard, put it in your yard, and go ahead and put it in the ground. Now, this is a good time. If you're going to do it, this is the time to do it. Obviously, keeping in mind that those particular trees are, you know, citrus, if you will, could be subject to some cold weather damage. So be ready to cover them or protect them some way. But no, I would do it now. I'd dig them up, move them to the new location, and follow the rules we've been talking about this morning about getting enough water on them, and don't let the sprinkler system or the rain, don't count on that to get enough water on them. Let that hose dribble on them so it gets down, way down into the roots, and get as much of that root system as you can when you're digging it up. That's really important.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will do that. You know, just real quick, the best kind of satsuma.
What is that? What is that?
A free satsuma. I'm fixing to go get it. I appreciate your time. Y'all have a good one.
Wait a minute, Michael. I'm writing that down. That is, you know, that goes into the Garden Line archives.
There you go.
We're not going to worry about mandarins and clementines and all that. We're going to talk about free satsumas.
Make friends with the best of people.
Right.
Hey, Michael,
right.
Thanks so much.
Michael. Good talking to you.
Happy New Year to you. 850-437-1620. I wanted to go ahead and just say I love when people... I do love when Michael from Pensacola calls. He's the best. He's so great. 850-437-1620. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Before we take another break, let's talk another plant that's safe to plant this time of year while we're dealing with a little bit more of that cold weather that comes and goes.
Well, if we get the bulbs in and we get those annuals in, this is the time, if you're going to do some major landscaping, it's a good time to plant any ornamental. In other words, if you're going to put a row of boxwoods, you're going to plant a maple tree, whatever, cooler weather is the best time to do it. Obviously, it's not the best time for your summer annuals. It's just not the best time for your tropicals. No, of course not. We have to wait till we get out of the chance of a hard freeze. But your basic foundation plants, this is a great time to do it. It really is. Now, it's not that much fun to get out into cool weather and, you know, sometimes it's cold and a little dreary this time of year. But it's really, the plants like to be moved and planted in the cooler months. So fall is for planting. We'll add that to the best satsumas, a free satsuma,
yes,
to a garden spot saying.
That's right.
And, so that's what I would do.
I
think there are a lot of things you can plant. And what we may talk about, if we have time today, Jen, if not we'll have to do another time, is some of my favorite of the summer plants, but also what you can do in your yard. Maybe you might go there first to have a variegated look, different color look in your yard without planting annuals or perennials. Permanent plants that are not going to be affected by the cold, that have a different coloration to them, that gives you a variety of color in your yard without having to transplant annuals or perennials on a periodic basis.
All right, let's talk about that when we come back. But if you have a question, go ahead and slip that in there.
850-437-1620. I just want to be a better man to my baby. Give me all.
We want to be a better man and woman to our garden. That's why we're listening to The Garden Line.
Very good.
There you go. You liked how I did
that
right there.
I knew you were going to tie that in somehow. Good for you.
I just can't help myself.
I know.
I try so hard. And that, of course, is Better Man by Leon Bridges. And that's on our Garden Line Spotify list. Yes, I have been slowly but surely adding some of our favorites onto our Spotify list that you can find, and it's literally called The Garden Line.
Did you add some of those older ones we used, like Jimmy Durante?
I've got Bobby Day, Marvin Gaye, the Booker T, Don Ho, Michael Bublé, of course, you know, what was another one? Oh, man, I added a few more, but I have a whole list there.
That's fun.
Four Tops, Stevie Wonder.
Fun.
So, all the good ones that you just want to put on and then go tend to your garden.
That's right. Exactly. Hey.
That's what it's there for. That's why I made it for you.
Exactly. Very, very good. We're going to make a bundle selling those things. I'll tell you right
now. Cash cow.
Exactly. Okay, here we go. All right. Just a comment to follow up on what we said a minute ago. If you are going to put in a landscape and you want to have a different colorations, if you will, that's kind of an odd way to put it, but to have plants that have different colored leaves, if you will, so you don't have to just fill it full of annuals, just a couple of suggestions. Number one, I really like, I'm going to use the studio here at 1620 with the new landscaping. The camellias that we put in, the sasanquas, were absolutely gorgeous. But, of course, as a complement to those which have green leaves, we planted Aztec grass, which is a form of liriope, kind of monkey grass, if you will.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they, of course, are variegated, kind of a green and white leaf to it, which gives you a great contrast to those dark green camellia leaves, if you will. So that works. And here's a fun one. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on here, but it's two of my favorite plants, and it's kind of funny to say them together. Acubas and ajugas. Have we ever talked? I don't think
we've
ever
talked. Acuba and ajuga.
Acubas and
ajugas. That sounds like a song on our playlist.
It does sound like a song.
We need to write that. You better save it.
Okay. Now, let me tell you about acuba. Acubas has a variegated kind of a green and yellow leaf. It's a permanent plant. It won't freeze. It can be a permanent part of your landscape. It likes semi-sun situation. You don't want to put it in full blaring sun. But a coop, and you can keep them pruned. They don't have to get too big. You can get them up to, 2-3 feet and prune them. A kind of a cool plant because it does have that different coloration. Okay, ajuga. Ajuga is kind of totally different. Ajuga, another word for that, and I think the industry changed the words because it wasn't very complimentary, is a bugle plant. I don't know why they call it that. It doesn't look like that.
A bugle plant.
A bugle plant. Okay, ajuga. Ajuga is a ground cover. Very, very flat. I mean, it grows very flat with some purplish coloring to it. Loves the shade. I hate to say pure all-day shade, but it really does love the shade.
It's a shady plant.
A shady plant, right. So you got acuba and ajuga, which kind of fit what we're talking about here. If you've got an area, a landscape area, and you want to have something a little different color, put in some Aztec grass, put in some acuba, and it'll give you some different coloration. Okay. Also, another good one for variegation, for kind of a green-white look and that will contrast nicely with pure green plants, of course, is our flax lily, which we've talked about a lot here on the Garden Line. It's used everywhere. Your commercial landscapers who are landscaping commercial properties use flax lilies a lot just for the reason we're talking about. The city has used a lot on the medians right in front of the Community Maritime Park. So they're everywhere. The only problem with flax lilies is if you really do have a cold winter, it'll knock them back a little bit. Mm. And you got to kind of wait for them to come back. So that's what you may want to plant. Now, a couple of other plants that don't have variegated foliage. Well, one more. How about variegated pittosporum? Variegated pittosporum is a great plant. You can buy green pittosporum. You can buy variegated pittosporum. The variegated will give you that color contrast that we're talking about this morning. So, and it is a permanent plant. It's a basic Pensacola plant. It'll last for generations. The one problem with variegated pittosporum, and I've got a good friend at the beach, lives on Sabine Bay, has right in front of his house all these variegated pittosporum. They will get scale so bad. You've got to spray for it. And to spray for the scale, What you do, you use your ultra-fine oil. Scale, of course, is little white specks that get underneath the leaf. And you spray, be sure you get your spray underneath there. The ultra-fine oil is safe, organic, nothing toxic about it. And you need to do that every spring and every fall. I would do it in March or April, and then I would do it in, like, September, October, November. Just as a rule of thumb, just do it every year, those two times, and it'll keep that scale under control. But variegated pittosporum is a good plant to use, and so that's one to think about. I do have to mention just a couple other favorites, though, Jenna. My lantana, the dwarf lantana that we've talked about, is still blooming up a storm here in January. It really looks good. It's yellow, green leaves, yellow blossoms. It really has been well. And I planted it early in the spring. And it has grown, but it's a dwarf. It just doesn't go as crazy as regular lantana will. But it really is a good plant that you may want to think about. Also, I've just got to mention this, and we'll talk about these as we get closer to it, but some plants we may need to concentrate on more because they do so well and have been doing well. One are the bush daisies. The bush daisies lasted well into the fall for me, and I've got one that's still struggling along, still blooming. So the bush daisy is good. Yellow blossom on a green plant. I put it in a big container, and it fills it up. Really, really a fun plant.
Okay. All right. Look, all good things. And we're going to have you spell. What was the original? What was those first two that we talked about?
The Akuba and the Ajuga?
The Akuba and the Ajuga.
Okay.
Somebody said, I think you made that up from The Lion King. So... It sounds like it.
Saw that in New York, matter of fact.
Akuba and Ajuga. Now okay, I've got to play something from The Lion King when we come back. So
absolutely.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to wrap things up this morning on The Garden Line. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, we've got some congratulations to be had this morning, Mike Wiggins. Congratulations, huge congratulations. And this comes from our friend Catherine to Lillian Grace. She got the 2022 debutante.
She was a debutante this year, and
she made it.
Oh, she made it. She was,
how sweet is
and
that?
And she was absolutely gorgeous.
I think that's so beautiful.
She's in college at the University of Florida.
Well, congratulations to her.
And she did a great job.
All right. Hey, let's go out on that. Good, congratulations.
Thank you.